we're going to have a special broadcast today. I discovered this, and I thought, this is really worth broadcasting. So this is a section of a rewrite session, rewrite session number 20, recorded on March 9th, 2011. The first part is how we came across what I call the 4X formula, the very important formula, which may be the equation mentioned at the end of the Relax and Allow sessions. I don't remember if it was I think it was the Allow session, but I'm not sure. Ian says there's this formula and started to give it, and it never got completed. Well, I think it occurred to us a couple years later that what formula that was given to us during rewrite was the formula for relaxing allowing. So many people pursued it in private sessions, and we have referred to it a lot, and I just thought, let's play this. This is how we discovered it. We stumbled into it on March 9, 2011, and it's sort of cute, funny how we discovered it. And then mainly Chad starts to really grill Ian about it, and I want to play that grilling. Now, it's going to be, for most people, very confusing. They won't be able to visualize what they're hearing. This is at the end of this is going to be about an hour and 15 minutes. And they're, but I just want to show you what Ian can do and what he presented to us and what was developed in the extremis of refinement of algebra, of trigonometry and geometry. So so that people get an inkling of what they're not going to understand kind of thing, because we've referenced the formula and nobody has a clue what it is. If someone is pretty smart, they might be able to figure out something from this, but probably you need to talk to Ian about it. And then, but before we start off stumbling into the formula, then we divert into explaining the important part of the angel diagram about empires and the oligarchs. And I thought that's worth hearing for people as they ascend. So we're going to play that. Then it comes back in the last 15 minutes to the formula. So it's a very pretty good recording. We're releasing, in a way, information that no one would have gotten otherwise. But I think we like to put out teasers to show what does happen if you're lucky to be part of it. We'll play about 10 minutes, then I got to move it forward to another part, and then we get that for about an hour. So here we go.
Great, Carol, that's a vowel level, but then just look at the word. Does that mean hearing cash flow? The word comes.
Yes, 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 yes. And what you're finding out with 11 listeners, you're changing and affecting every meme on your radio, TV, winning, and every other dynamic in your world. They're throwing out, they're going to be burning books, not because books are good or bad. They just won't have a functional use for them anymore. So put it back to carbon and put the carbon back in the ozone and build this thing back up, because it won't make much difference anymore. You are single-handedly rewriting history surreptitiously to a level that's never been known.
Because we say it in the chip body. Because it's being said in the ESP world of the electronic chip zone, that's why it affects everything.
Vibration is a frequency. Okay? It's a frequency. It also affects your chart and the outer seven rings. If something is a vibration, it is a frequency. And we have an example. In the effect of the emotion that a frequency has, you can take a menopausal woman who is actively engaged in the middle of a hot flash, and you put her out in a bone-chilling cold wind, and she will react absolutely very, very, very differently to a perimenopausal woman who would say that she's cold and freezing to death.
What's the difference between perimenopausal and
one without a hot flash?
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. Thank you. See, and that's the same wind. So that vibrational reference, especially found in the outer rings of your revelation chart.
Which you brought in the word emotion there.
Well, because many times you gauge a vibration as an experience of an emotion. See, you gauge the feeling place. We say take no action until you decide whether or not your past is path to your joy. Well, you can't come to that conclusion unless the thought of that feels better than not doing whatever the action is.
So the 12th ring, Ion, the 12th ring has a full spectrum of possible emotion. Hey, Ion, the 12th ring has... let me interact here. Yeah, you're going to say your bit. The 12th ring has all the emotions possible, whereas the 9th ring just has the higher emotions.
That apply to the Asher, setting it up to filter to the Asher at the gate.
And what are the emotions, frequencies and levels of experience, or allowing environments to be experienced?
In every degree between those two segments, Bob. Yes.
Yeah, between the 12th ring and the 9th ring.
Yeah. Now, ring 12, that's where you have your X and Y chromosome. The X and the Y chromosome that actually set it for a grid when you start pulling the sine and the cosine and your points, when you start pulling tangents to see when your cell is going to complete, boy, there's a degree of separation there, isn't it? But, and so, that's your X and Y chromosome. Now, Karen can tell you everything you want to know about the X and Y chromosomes within
the cell. Is that that's the dialectic of male-female?
There's
X, male, Y, female, or vice versa.
So that is that's a beginning form, no beginning, but that's a form, a prime form, male and female, two prime forms?
No. Has very little to do with nothing. Well, if we could finish a sentence, you'd get this.
You did. You said enough. You don't have to finish a sentence. You just say a bunch of words, then we figure out what those words mean before you finish the sentence.
You haven't yet. Ring 12, X and Y chromosomes are set values of positions. That would be as an X and a Y in a graphed grid.
Yeah, because there's no difference between male and female, you say.
That's exactly correct. One is just more accentuated or dominant than another. But we don't know the functions, but you still have tits on a bull.
So what are the X and Y? What are those, whatever you're saying, the chromosomes?
They're the axes that your grid is set forth. Now you're working with
differentiation. If you go in to begin to be a fallen man, you will make a differentiation. The ascended man doesn't make any of these X Y differentiations, right?
Well,
the ascended person.
Whatever. So your X and the
Y. See that you're saying that X Y, the beginning of differentiation, is the beginning of the thought process and the setting up of a world that the little man lives in.
Okay. But we're not talking about a little man's world. We're talking about an ascended man's world.
Yeah, an ascended man world wouldn't have an XY grid.
Oh, it most certainly does when you start applying the unit circle to all the rings with different tangents. It most certainly will. But it won't
now,
be
this might be the part you missed, Chad. We did
it
the unit circle maybe
you,
a couple
it
weeks
ago. Won't be something you pine for, but you absolutely will be able to calculate it in your mind.
Okay, you do this calculation to what end?
Oh, for setting your sine and cosine in that ring.
And why would you do that?
Oh, very simple. To gauge these vibrations in these outer seven rings, to discern, decide, and apply which value you're going to attach in a place to the cold wind blowing juxtaposed on the position of where you geographically are.
Why would you be concerned?
You're not. It's just how to calculate it if you are. So if you are menopausal and having a hot flash and feel like your skin's going to melt right off of your body, you could then, at that case, gauge and cause a wind to blow that would be so cold that it would suspend or at least amend your feeling of a hot flash. But if you didn't know that information of how to pull the sine and cosine, you might not know how cold to go. Or you might get it so cold that you freeze yourself to death right there. And freeze yourself to death right there. Ascended, froze to death right there.
Well, so yogis, when they learn to control their autonomic system, is the rumor, they're doing what you just described?
Yeah. And who was even better than that was Boo Boo.
Yeah.
He loved us some Boo Boo. Of course.
Okay, well, that's a great question, Bob, about the yogis doing that. So does that, does this whole grid sign cosine, is that a function of a yogic experience?
No, they really don't know, because, see, they would never give the credence to a wavelength, a sine cosine value, a mathematical value. And if you remove the tangents from that, we wouldn't either. But if you bring in the tangents, all of a sudden, then that becomes the gauge for degree, gauge of degree, as far as a distance. It sets timing.
Well, that sounds like someone who wants to kind of manipulate a future or their future.
Fuck yeah.
Well, an ascended person.
Whoa. Exactly right. An ascended person may want to back something up and have a do-over. An ascended person might get right in the throes of an orgasm and let it last for 40 years. No problem. An ascended person may have something not pleasant, okay, that they want to go through very quickly and have no regards to and speed up the process so it's over like a snap.
An ascended person might want to change themselves into another species.
Very likely, certainly. No limitation. If you're powerful enough to separate yourself from becoming a god, which you still are, but denying your godship, you damn sure could come back and say, let's play and see what a cockroach, let's see it through the eyes of a cockroach.
Yeah, so that the whole exercise to enslave ourselves that's arrived at this point was to prove how powerful we were.
Precisely.
Or are.
Good. And so it's not a matter of coming back.
Oh, that's just Sasha dropping her phone.
So it's not a power of becoming out of this less than place. It's actually a finding a journey, a path. Greg said it, and he's actually pretty close to it. When you start having a mathematical calculatable formulary that sets on a unit circle of exactly how it applies to any perspective from every side of a cell, okay, then you can really start pulling some numbers. And when you start pulling some tangents and start moving, oh, speed, the ring, James.
Yes.
The speed of the, you tangled up, baby, on this ring business. You got to, it's the same, each ring spins. Got it? They all have the same velocity, but not the same speed. Because, you see, the outer rings are going to be slower than the inner rings.
Yeah, exactly, they've got to.
Okay, so don't confuse velocity with speed, because if you do that, you're gonna have to adjust the rhythm, and it won't be effective.
Okay, so
hey James, how come there's a difference between velocity and speed? What's the difference?
Well, speed includes time. Velocity is just the
set.
Measurement of motion.
Correct.
Measurement of motion. That's speed. See, try to explain this, James. I don't see the difference yet.
Well, with speed, you're adding time. 100 kilometers per hour.
No, speed's motion. Don't bring the word in. Speed is motion.
Well, you get a definition, including all the definition, and then you won't be confounded with the difference between speed and velocity, Bob.
So you're saying if you mean...
Speed is miles per hour. It's based on time.
And what's velocity?
Velocity is the measurement of the rate and direction of change in the position of an object.
There you go, which has nothing to do with time. So there is a difference.
Okay, that's the end of the first section. And Chad came up with the difference. One's acceleration, one's just straight movement. We found out later that something had been said to James in a private session to him, but we didn't know what it referred to. So it was because Ion said the male and female chromosomes, X and Y, and then said that could be sine and cosine. We're going, what? That was the beginning point, Chad, that odd notion.
that. I didn't remember that coming out of the chromosome talk. I know I was there and I heard it, but I'd never even registered that until now.
Right. You're hearing, you're remembering it now, but you never thought of it, never remembered. Now you're hearing it, so you recall it now, but you didn't know that's how it began. None of
us
knew. Yeah, that it's very interesting how Ion is saying that the interplay between the X and Y chromosome, is that right, Carol? Female-male chromosomes is a mathematical relationship. That's pretty amazing, right? That you then bring in the formula and the tangents and all that is the angles that create different humans, even though they're at base not different. So I am saying on the surface, it's like playing with the false frames of time. You're playing with time. You can predict the future, which is what you use the 4X formula for. And it's a very precise formula, and it was hinted at on the TV show The Event, where you see that guardian guy, the older guy, mapping out, taking what turned out to be our formula, pretty close to it, on a big slab. They just show him doing it in his living room or his office or something. I don't know if Bart showed a picture of that action. But he showed that guy taking the drops in that same November 2010 period of that show, The Event. So we get this beginning point, and Ion, as usual, saying stuff that we can't understand right at the first moment. He's plowing ahead. So then we digress for a couple of hours. This is at the 2.5 hour part of a rewrite, and it's going to be a 7 hours and 15 minute rewrite. So at the 2.5 hour, we get this from 2:21 to 2:32. Then I got to go all the way to 5, the fifth hour, to pick up getting back onto this thing. So we go from 5:53 to 7:02 or something. So we'll continue. We'll go into that. Okay. So enjoy this.
Because if you drag it around, what will happen is you'll find out, sooner or later, you'll find out that it'll creep up on you. It'll creep up on you. Because the ascension is the most significant, wonderful thing that you could ever attain. But if you drag your old crap in with you, you'll find yourself ascended with the same issues that you had when you were descended. But you can externalize them, not internalize them, and then whatever those cares, potential cares were, will be so separate from you, it won't make any difference. So now, the question at bay is there a practical application to externalize a potential condition or contrast in the shifting within the layers of heaven or the multiple empires?
Whoa.
Now, yeah.
That's the most.
Well, let's make this real. I mean, y'all have had enough woo-woo to last eternity. Let's get it down to grits and gravy. So, discussion.
Well, are we just saying as we watch the worlds and our bodies and everything change right before our eyes, and we know that we're a part of this process and creating this process because we've chosen this and we've chosen ascension. All we're doing is not internalizing one fit to another or making it about a personal issue like worthiness or whatever. All we're doing is choosing to keep moving and going, stay in our joy, and when contrast comes up, don't take it personal.
Well, yeah, that's easy. That's easy. Until you start talking about grandma's pie safe. And it is
so are we
personal.
Talking about what? People, loved ones, items, objects? I mean...
Yes. Any essence of contrast.
Okay, so what we're saying is that, like for an example, like my brother.
Yeah.
Or my friends or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm on this path and I mean the distance is getting wider and wider all the time. I think about it a lot. I'm like, okay. I get there are a lot of people around me who are not going to choose anything close to what I'm choosing. Okay.
And that's okay. And you can engage, love, appreciate, see only the best in them, engage when it's appropriate, go visit, have them over, in and out, all that fun stuff. Okay. But you wouldn't feel bad personally because of your kingdom shift.
Right.
Okay. Because if you did, what would happen is it would could potentially become an issue with a different layer of heaven or a different empire that you, of course, easily create.
Right. So I just keep testing the water. I mean, I just,
yeah,
you know, I
right.
toe
Play
in and
it.
I'm like, okay.
And if something's not working just right, J.W. does it all the time. It was springtime, and he started the pollen. Okay, the elm trees and some of the different trees were starting pollen. Well, it kind of pissed him off. So he said, okay, great, time for a little rain. Let's wash all this off. Okay, 7 inches of rain later, he doesn't seem quite comfortable in turning the rain off. Okay? Now, he doesn't internalize that. He gets excited and thrilled about the rain that is.
He said he's not comfortable with turning the rain off because 7 inches wasn't enough.
And, well, it's just, so far, apparently not.
Okay.
Because it's hawk deep. And let's see what it's doing right now.
So you're
can you hear?
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the creek's about to get so high he could walk under it.
But he still doesn't feel obligated to turn it off because he likes the rain. So whatever.
Well, he does. He does.
Happens.
But see, it's just wielding the place of power.
Got it.
Okay, it's wielding the place of power. Now here's the thing: if he felt bad and internalized that position, he could drag that into another empire.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And it may not serve him. But instead, okay, Bob.
Well, I don't get what you guys are getting into. I mean, I get it, but I don't think anybody's understanding it because you get into this private reading mode, Ion, and start talking personal therapy to people.
Ezekiel and Revelation dealing with the kingdoms. You wanted to deal with the empires and the
talking about the empires. Not we got the second and first dynamic. That's for us. That's for private readings. That's between you and me. And you can go on with aphorism. I don't know if anybody ever can apply it. And the best they ignore it, and it'll happen anyways by default. Let's get into what the seven kingdoms are, as relating to the public aspect of the seven realms.
There is no public aspect of the seven realms.
Doesn't matter. That's what I meant.
No, there is not. It's not that it doesn't matter. There aren't any public aspects to the realms.
What are those seven icons referring to?
He was
the empires.
Then what are the empires?
The layers of heaven.
Right. And who are those people? These are the people that you have to fight with if you become a little man in the Book of Revelations. The ascended person does not take on those conflicts during the six realms of heaven, right?
Well, they get to deal with them layer by layer by layer.
They're going to meet, just like the LaRouche organization. Every time they start exposing something, some stranger would show up, and then they'd figure that stranger was from another organization they didn't know about, so then they'd go after that. Is that what you're talking about? You're going to encounter the six empires, as we have, as we've done our bit.
Well, you have that potential to, yes.
Yeah. So you will be invited by each one of them to come into the parlor, and they'll see if you fit into their dynamic.
No. No. You try them on for a fit is a better way to say it.
How do you get access to them to try them on?
Well, it's called ascension, Bob.
Yeah, and what's the practical ramifications of how you encounter them?
Live.
So, Marguerite, you want to find out what the seven empires are? Per se? You know, the names, the houses?
Well, Well, it depends if I don't want to talk about it at this moment.
No, he'll talk about it if we ask about it correctly.
The seven empires that you're talking about are in Ring 11. You're talking about Ring 11, right?
Yes.
Now, in Ring 10, now, to me, there was a separation between the seven layers of heaven and what you're calling the seven empires. Are they different? Are they separate?
I'm saying the same thing. That's what I was learning from here, is that you encounter those six fights, Armageddons, right? Remember that? Remember the little men would have some fight with something, some issue, and there were like six of them, maybe seven.
Well,
they were the realms. And so the meaning, since it's part of the outer kingdom, the seven societies, the seven empires, are who you're going to come up with, up against. That's why they're there. They're symbolizing the seven realms, which are in the tenth ring.
Yeah, I'm not following that, Bob.
Okay, Greg, as you were saying, Mr. Bilderberger is going to make a visit to your home. Mr. Trilateral Commission is going to make a visit to you. Mr. Buckingham Powell is going to visit you. Seven of these empires are going to visit you as you intrude upon their realms. Or they perceive that.
You're going to visit them. You're going to try them on.
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. How does one begin to interact with them?
Well, who says that you're intruding on them or they're intruding on you? Who's making this up?
Well, that you may perceive it that way, and then you declare war on them. Or you don't, depending on maybe the private part, First and Second Empires. But the point is, they're part of the environment you're going to encounter. They're going to determine your frequency. They're going to be a test for your frequency. So Marguerite wants to know who they are. Who are they?
So
they're going to be parallel world empires.
So when Mr. Bilderberger comes to visit me in my little cabin on the lake, what is his proposition for me? I mean, do we have an exchange? I mean, like, play out a scenario, because I want to hear what you've got to say about this.
You would look at each one of those sevens in the 10th ring, figure out the qualities of them, whatever those seven are, it's seven times, right? 49 boxes. So you take one of the seven and look at the icon that's in ring 11 and say, that's the battle that comes from there, if I choose to engage it. But you'd have to figure out which seven box thing in 10th ring matches up with which icon. That's what determines who Mr. Bilderberger is. And I mean that metaphorically, Mr. Bilderberger.
So you have these seven archetype metaphor kind of persons, and there's an engagement with each one in your own personal sphere based on your own dynamics. And then
here's what's coming to mind. As Bill Clinton took his power in 2000, he said, fuck you, Nassar Agreement in St. Germain. I'm not paying attention to you. And then America got ruined because he may not care, but he reacted to St. Germain and their demands, that empire. I bet you St. Germain is in one of those symbols. And he said, screw you. And Ian says, no one knows why Clinton did it, but it sounds like he was trying to take his power. And look what happened to his country. That may be an example of what will happen as you come into your power. Sounds like Mr. Clinton, if he cares at all what happened to his country, didn't handle it very well.
Well, now, I don't see how you're getting there. No,
you know that Clinton returned down the Nassar payment, and that's why the Twin Towers were nuked, but then brought the Patriot Bill and then made America miserable. Endless airport bullshit.
Right, but what Clinton in his power, Clinton was in a seat of authority.
Yeah, and he thought it was power. And he thought, you know, one way to look at it, he said, screw you, Nassar, I'm not paying this 200-year debt. And Ion says, we have no idea why Clinton did that. Well, it sounds like to me he thought he was taking his power.
Well, I don't know.
You understand the basic point of the scenario, right?
I don't.
Look, the Twin Towers happened partly because Clinton would not pay the Nasara debt to St. Germain. That is the reason it got nuked.
Okay, fine. But what's that have to do? What's that have to do with
the seven societies? Is that St. Germain represented one of those icons and one of those seven houses of seven in the tenth ring represents what Clinton got himself into, and he had a battle with one of the icons in the 11th ring.
But that's Clinton, but you're saying they're going to come and visit.
And that's an example. I'm giving Ginny of an example to where Mr. Bilderberger visits you. You might cause that kind of situation. You won't be in a cottage, Ginny. You'll have established some kind of economic power, might, or something, or empire. You'll be a big owner of something.
I know, but I could still be in my cottage.
Yeah. But it's not where you are. It's what you've acquired that evokes Mr. Bilderberger to see if you're allowed to continue expanding your power.
Well, that makes total sense. I mean, I get that. I was
right.
That's right.
It might be interesting to know who's going to visit us. Okay, this would solve one point. Is Saint Germain represented? Whatever he represents on, is he in one of those symbols?
Yes.
Right. See, so we're sort of on the right track here.
No.
But there is that symbol. And there is St. Germain.
Oh.
That's right. So work with that. You know, we know that one of the symbols represents St. Germain. And what does he represent?
I have no idea what St. Germain represents. But I do want to go back to your statement, Bob, of you saying, okay, just like what you said at the end, well, you ain't going to be no college, cottage or whatever. You're going to have... You're going to get to a point of
ownership.
Okay, you're going to get to this ownership. And then you made the statement of, okay, you're going to get to a point that you're going to get so big that they're going to take notice of you. And then they're going to decide if they are going to let you go any farther. And I'm like, what the fuck is that about?
That's what the seventh realm, how they will hassle you, how you react to that. Is the challenge, is the test, whether you get to ascend it or not.
What?
Because that's authority.
I don't understand how you could say that St. Germain, legally or whatever, asking for Clinton to pay a debt that we legitimately owed is hassling. It's a lack of his integrity.
Clinton... made his move.
Okay, he made his move, but I mean, it's not like, you know, you're going to get visited by these super entity power mongers or whatever that are on all these different frequency levels.
He got visited.
You got to fight for your right to party.
No. Well, that's just one way to respond. But he got visited on September 11th.
See, okay.
Don't you understand that we're going with Ion Sid? Ion says the reason, one of the major reasons the towers went out, as said by Ion, is because Clinton did not agree to the Nasara Agreement, which was due in the year 2000. That is why that happened.
Okay, I understand.
But what does that have to do with Clinton being ascended or not?
That's what we're getting at, Bob, is its relationship to ascended.
You don't see what it has to do with ascended? It may not have anything to do with it, but that's what the Bible is, the Revelation is saying. You have the opportunity to go to war against St. Germain or not. So, did Clinton go to war in reaction or just ignore it?
But, Bob, I don't have a country, you know, that holds...
Yeah, you will get one.
No, but...
As you become more powerful.
I don't have one that holds a debt to St. Germain, though.
Oh, no. They all bring the other six houses, you may encroach on them. Remember when in David Bowie, the movie Man to Fell to Earth, he's the alien who lands here. He figures out Wall Street and then starts taking over everything. He came up against the oligarchs that noticed him doing that, and he had a battle. That happened to Howard Hughes, happens to everybody.
it sounds like you're saying that we're automatically going to be attacked by one of these houses because we owe them something.
No, not necessarily owe them. You encroach on what they rule.
No, wait, no, well.
These are seven empires.
Okay.
Okay, Ion, so this is what Bob is asserting accurate as you... Is this accurate? You're encroaching on other empires, and you have to fight for your right to be.
You don't have to fight. The revelation is about how, whether you fight or not. Ion recommends, no, the Bible recommends you don't fight. The little men fight. As the little man gets his power, he declares war on the establishment. That's all in the, it's laid out in the later chapters. All the warring that takes place.
I know, but why are we talking? I don't know, Bob. You lost me. I'm sorry.
Well, what do you think those chapters were about?
I understand what the chapters were about. I do not.
What were they about?
A Bill Clinton ascension. It was about your bow and your crown and running around and using authority, including legal systems, in order to defend against authentic power. I get that. But
I don't know what that sentence means. Do you know that you heard Ion and I go through how the little men, they had Armageddons. There's one gathering right now because somebody thought that the old order should be knocked out. That's right there. Brian must have heard that. He's heard it three times. That's what goes on in the six realms. They're fights. And the Ascended Man does not engage in those fights.
Right, that's why we're asking.
Right, but you got to be careful how you get to that position because you will be drawn in. That's why you have to understand how the empires will draw you into the fight and you won't even know it. That's why you got to know about these guys.
You mean they'll try to recruit you?
They'll fucking bug you and get you pissed and you'll lose your composure and your ability to relax now and you'll be fooled into having a battle with them and then you won't be ascended. Because you got stuck in a confrontational situation with them.
Nah, we've been practicing with you, Bob. It's all good.
Well, grinning.
Yeah, grinning. That's right. Truer words never said.
Solved.
Solved?
Solved. Problem solved. I think we just acted out one of the symbols right now. How fun was that?
Now, what are you saying? You said the word solved. Wonder what you mean by that. You care to explain why you say the word solved?
Solved. With a V.
Oh, S-O-L-V-E-D. I think it's an S-A-L-T. And then you said the symbol. You think it's been solved?
I was just pretending. I was just joking.
Hey, go into it. Hey, help us find out who the seven symbols represent, James.
I'm good with it at the moment.
Good with it. Jesus.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, Margarita, you want to know? Go after Ion and find out. Figure out the way to ask.
Hold on. We went running ahead and we didn't even ask, like, if we were going from a false premise here.
Margarita asked, what are the seven houses? And she got us there. Then you guys get all distracted with this second kingdom, second empire, first empire, which is okay, but don't let Ion go on. You got it. You got to have your shit together to get ready for the seven houses. So now we can ask what the seven houses are. Margarita, go for it. But make sure you figure out how to say it so Ion doesn't shut down. James ain't going to help you. He's given up. He's okay with it, which is not enough. He can't talk about it.
Ion, do we need to have our shit together in order to deal with the seven empires?
Don't use the word need.
Well, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay.
No, it isn't. You'll use it against us later. Say that differently without the word need.
Is it necessary to have the seven...
Necessary implies
together?
Need.
Okay.
Would it benefit us to adopt a certain type of poise in relationship to these different empires?
Thank you, Chad.
The simplest way to state it is to be aware of the power you wield And if you come into your knowing, okay, basically taking the training wheels off the tricycle, then what happens is you find that the interaction with the oligarch, that is a pleasant, blissful experience, okay? And it doesn't bump into another's kingdom, all right? But if you confuse or drag your baggage to a position to where it's about the ready for the fight, then we assure you with great authority that you will be in a fight, okay? And we don't mind fighting. Fighting's perfectly all right with us. And what Bob's trying to point to is if you get crossways and decide to fight, know your parameters. But if you're not about the fight, you don't have to yield, and it can be cleaned up with a simple statement if the Bilderberger, John Birch, or some other quacker, whoever he's talking about, comes rap-tap-tapping on your chamber door saying, you're squatting on my kingdom, get out. You could say, thank you for stopping by, would you like some tea? And I have one thing to tell you, trouble me no more to your own peril. And then quietly either have him in for tea or shut the door, either way. And that becomes the conclusion. But if you make that statement, then you should want, desire, be comforted in your place of power, not authority. Because if you get the power business right, he'll come by and say, hey, I have a power plant extra. Do you have use or require use of it?
Ion.
Yes.
Ion.
Yes.
Unlock. You need to unlock. Margarita's trying to get back in.
Oh, got it, sir. Now, is that better?
We didn't hear the words unlock. It didn't get said. Usually we hear it.
Yeah, it is unlocked.
Okay. So, Margarita missed all that.
Well, it didn't even ding, so.
Well, it dinged while Bob was talking.
Oh, well, then, maybe so. Okay, so that's the issue, and there isn't an issue. All Bob's trying, there's Margarita. We're sorry,
yeah,
Bob
I'm back.
Was hollering. Bob was hollering, we couldn't hear you had fallen out, darling.
That's not true. I was quiet, Margarita, and he was explaining the whole thing that you for you, and you weren't there to hear it.
Oh.
You might want to ask him to repeat it.
That's fine. We will
note to see if he says it differently this time.
You
yes, I would
it.
Like to know what he
yeah.
said when I was
Yeah,
saying.
You say it again, Ion.
Good. You hush, and we will. All right. The point is Bob was trying to point out the position within the layers or the tiers of kingdoms that are presently in this world. As you establish your kingdom, you have a choice, a position. Now, this is about power and authority, but not so much. He's just pointing out the point of knowing clearly in advance of a potential issue. And the only issue is, as you fit into your new empire or kingdom, and some mister we've made the... used his word of Mr. Bilderberger comes rap-tap-tapping on your chamber door, that you have two choices. You open the door and say, hello, Mr. Bilderberger, would you like some tea? Invite him in. Be pleasant. It's very pleasant because you're comfortable in your knower, okay? And if he says, I thank you, Margarita, I appreciate the opportunity to enjoy tea, but however, I came by to let you know that you're encroaching on my kingdom. And then your response to Mr. Bilderberger is one of two. But the one to go with would be, well, thank you very much for stopping by. However, I'm very secure and comfortable in my place of power, not authority. And therefore, you have, Mr. Bilderberger, two choices. Come in, enjoy, our company and enjoy our tea. As I reign in my kingdom and as you reign in your kingdom, or the alternative would be, Mr. Bilderberger, trouble me no more to your own peril. And if that's the case, then you just shut the door. And then poor Mr. Bilderberger, because see, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it becomes a very easy, seamless process. But what Bob's pointing out is you want to know your place of power before you start picking fights in other kingdoms, okay?
Exactly.
And the reason that St. Germain had the outcome that came was because Bill Clinton didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. No ascension was involved at all. And had there been, there could have very easily been a different outcome that could have been worked out in detail. Because St. Germain, for Pete's sake, isn't pining over your money. And it's not a punishment phase. The Americans, the U.S. government, has made more off of the falling of the Twin Towers than anything that St. Germain possibly even could have gained, that this wasn't some retribution. They've milked that whore for all the tea in Babylon, from everything of getting things, the Patriot Act and every other nastiness. It had very little or nothing to do with encroachment on a kingdom of St. Germain. It was more from a profit standpoint of, see how vulnerable we are, give us our give up your freedoms so we can protect you. But that was just an example. But Bob's point was valid, strange, but valid. The validity comes back to know who you are in your godship. Then there, anybody that comes to your door, regardless, you'll be able to engage forthrightly, and there won't be an issue. Because the last thing they want to fuck with is an ascended human creator.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, thank you. Got it. Yeah, got it.
But know this. If you confuse power with authority, the contrast that comes along could devour your potential kingdom. But even that's not eternal. Okay? Mm-hmm. Even that's not eternal. And if you were running a whiskey still, we'd say also, it's not a good idea to get drunk on your own liquor. And with that in mind, it takes the heatness out of the fire regarding potential contrast in fitting your kingdom in your realm.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't encroach on another. Because, see, you're going to have a lot of gods. You got a lot of folks in this process of ascension. So the world's got to expand, so much so that it may get crowded. But don't worry, those that don't choose to ascend, they out of here. And then when they're out of here, there'll be lots of room. And then just like the scripture said, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And so then it would just be a matter of sweeping it up. Literally.
Zion, when you use the example of not getting high on your own whiskey still,
yes.
what's the parallel to getting high on your own supply with regard to ascending human?
It's the Humpty Dumpty metaphor. Don't get so high on the wall that if you fall down that it'll take all the king's horses and king's men not to put you back together again. You see, what we're saying is play with it, engage it, have it, buy it, sleep with it, smoke it, drink it, shoot it. We don't care. That doesn't make any difference. But don't make that be the essence of your place of power. You want Bob's having no trouble with boxcar loads of gold. That's no problem. That's fine. But at the same time, he doesn't for one second have any regard for someone who doesn't have their gold. See? That doesn't affect him at all. And they're not going to come knocking on his door wanting their 14-karat gold changes back because they got debt monies in exchange for their changes. So it's no problem. and it's not making, and there are no ascended ones running around saying, Bob's getting all the gold, Bob's getting my gold, we got to get rid of Bob because he's ascending and he's got it figured out and he's not fair. He's a blithering idiot. He doesn't even know which end is up, but he can talk a good game. And if we don't take him out of here, right now, he's going to take over our kingdoms. They don't have that conversation. See, it doesn't bump. You don't necessarily bump into that. Now, Tunkalo Pison, what Bob was trying to point out, and specifically to this group, is you have the ability and capacity to get breached with the authority, and it will be a fight if that's the case, okay? But it's not required or necessary. All Bob's point was, be sure you know that you haven't the difference between power and authority. And then Bob was saying, well, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Ion, you won't even tell us what the difference between power and authority is. Okay, questions? We'll answer them.
So power is when I say, you know, I'm an ascending creator, and I'm not going to go around, like, bullying other people thinking that,
You might.
Really?
Wait a second. You might. JW comes in and says, I'm tired of this pollen. I'm ready for some rain. And then all of a sudden, 8 inches falls, and things around him may start flooding. That's encroaching on his neighborhoods. That's going to close interstates, make traffic jams, make people late. Blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't have a regard over that.
Yeah, but with regard to power and authority, it's like, I'm not worried about how much gold James is collecting and how it will affect how much gold I'm going to have.
Correct. You know? That's correct. Like, that's correct.
Because it's not a zero-sum game like the little men think it is. It's actually
that's
like,
exactly
I can create,
as much of it as I want.
James can create as much as he wants.
Right. And that's what Bill Clinton got crossways of, you see. He did get crossways with the authority issue and aspect because he had the money to pay it. That was the hell of it.
So basically the authority thing all comes down to the little man thinks that there's just one seat of power to be occupied.
Right.
And if I'm not on it, then that guy's on it. If that guy's on it, I'm not on it. But the ascended capital M man knows that there's not just that one throne, you know.
Correct.
There's as many thrones as there are people willing to take a throne.
And you are broke out with elders to go around everybody's throne individually.
Right.
There's not even, you don't even have to share elders.
Right, because an ascending person knows that they can always create more, no matter what circumstance they encounter.
Well, okay, expand creation. Because more gets to be a little bit nebulous. Just say expand. Because that's what's happening to the Gov with all those that are croaking, taking their vast, unrealized creations. They're just expanding the Gov.
So even when it starts to feel crowded with a lot of other people taking their power, the ascended person knows that there will be more space created around each one of us.
That's correct. And then a huge exodus. Let my people go. They will go. There'll be lots of space.
Right.
But the issue is, don't get tangled up. Don't get tangled up. And use your feeling place, okay? And then you won't be encroaching on anyone. And if you do, you won't care. And even if you're engaging with little man, don't worry about that either, because they'll be some mortified of you. The last one they want to fuck with is you.
Okay. But do I want to be out there, like, taking advantage of other people when they're off their
guard?
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Good point.
How do you possibly take advantage of another human creator?
Just when you know that they're not looking at the whole picture, and you sweep
in. Why is that your job?
Not, no.
And when would it be your job?
Never.
How would you find yourself in that position in the first place? See? So when that happens, then it doesn't happen. But now if you're talking about a co-creation, let's say a co-creation would be something interesting that you were engaging with another human creator. If it's a co-creation, then you engage, you chat, you listen, you speak, you share your thoughts, you have your opinions, you yield and have that play, okay? And then all of a sudden you benefit from a co-creation perspective, okay? No problem. No problem, because they're there to help just like you're there to help. Then there's no. Then the advantage is being gained by both parties. You see? But keep the delineation, so if there's a change or a shift of that, then you can say you're absolutely right, you marvelous creator. Carry on. No problem. No advantage given or taken.
Okay.
And that's and that's a feeling place too now, Chad. That's a feeling place more than it is a adjudicatable position. See, that's a feeling place more than a adjudicatable position.
You mean I would be able to feel the I would be able to feel if I was, I don't know, breaking my own rules or my own sense of balance with a co-creator?
Good, that's right. And, of course, we'd say make there be no rules. Make there be no rules. Then it's very difficult to break the rules if there are no rules.
So what if someone was out there and they found a business partner and they got everything lined up and they started the business and then one partner just decides, what if I just decide to take all the money out of the bank that I could and take off to Costa Rica or just disappear and leave that other person there?
Fine.
So that's
no
perfectly
problem.
Fine.
No problem. You can either have a conversation, okay, have a conversation regarding how possibly that could have been the fastest path to their joy. Or you could have just said, wow, that's great. I'm glad we got that straightened out before it got to be ugly. And happily, because see, it's not about leaving you in a bad place, because you can create money easily.
Mm-hmm. What if that partner was actually a member of one of these seven empire families?
Well, we can give you with great authority that these empires that you're talking about would not be in the business of trying to leave you in the lurch. It would be more like, yes, thank you for the tea. I have an extra power company I have no desire or need of. Would you like to enjoy it? Here.
No, my example was the other way, where I take all the money and leave them behind.
You won't be able to do that. You wouldn't choose that. Because what you're actually saying is I'm not a powerful enough creator. I have to take your creation. See? And they would just kind of chuckle and laugh, just like St. Germain did with Bill Clinton. Say, okay, you don't want to pay? We understand. It's not a problem. Are you sure now? You know, you got the resources to do this. Okay, you're sure? All in, all done, all clear? Okay, very good. And then,
so do these ascended members like St. Germain, do they only lend money to little men because big men don't require that?
It's relative, but don't confuse lending with vigorous. There's a difference.
Which one was Nisara, lending or vigorous?
Well, originally it was vigor. It was lending. It just turned into vigorous because the little man tried to make it be about a positional condition that they could make money off the increase of the profits that was owed.
Okay.
Because see, Nisara, if you look at the terms and the details of Nisara, the money that was to come back to St. Germain wasn't even going to St. Germain. He was going to give it to little farmers. farmers' families. He wasn't going to, he wasn't even going to take the money for himself. He had no need of money.
Okay. So, is Saint Germain represented in one of these seven?
Yes, we already said that.
Okay. So Saint Germain is represented in one of these seven. Does this
in that house? In that house, not as a as a thing, but in a house.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
So would this diagram in some way give me coordinates to enable me to contact that house?
Sorry, what's their question?
Yeah, would this diagram give me the ability to contact them? Like,
Great. No, wait, just don't, just stay right there for a second. Okay, in which set of seven rings are these houses?
11.
No, but is that inner or outer seven?
Outer.
Outer seven has to do with?
Frequencies.
Vibration. Frequency.
Vibration.
Therefore, through the control and the balance of the Asher ring, which separates the chemical, that's the one that would open the door if the doorbell rang. That would then be certainly controlled within that parameter, would it not?
Right.
So therefore, in the conditional response of pulling sines and cosines from your spinning world that James is working on diligently, then all of a sudden it becomes a lining up. Meaning, you won't have to seek them. They won't have to seek you. It will just become serendipitous. Okay?
You mean we'll just find them at our company at some point?
Yeah. They'll send you an invitation, and they'll say, oh, we're going to come to town and visit. Would you like to have dinner? Yes, thank you very much. And they come to dinner, and they sit down, and they talk to you, and they have a nice visit and chat, and how's your mom or name, blah, 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 blah. Well,
okay.
So, and then, oh, no. And then the next thing you know, you're an attaché to a country.
Okay. So if I meet one, let's say I go on a transatlantic flight, and I end up sitting next to one of the people who are one of the members of this house, and that's the serendipitous meeting. And do I, like, take that as a symbol? So it's like, okay, now I've met one of the people from this house, so that means I've tapped into, you know, the seventh ring. Like, is this a symbol revelation kind of thing?
Could be. It could be. But now be mindful of this whole process, you see. Because from the angelic position, all that is the radical infiltration of a competent, cohesive vibration that would align. Because as their work, see, their cells are spinning like your cells are spinning. So until it's a match, you don't have to be befuddled by it. Because if it's not a match, you'll know it, number one. And number two, they'll know it. So there won't be a conversation. So then you won't have to be concerned in your process of ascension if you are still have baggage regarding being too litigious. And or vice versa.
Okay, so that means it's only symbolic if I choose it to be symbolic?
Well, no, what Bob was trying to clean up, and he did a great job at it, long way around, but he got there. All he's saying is make sure you know what you're fucking with, so if you get crossways with it, you will be able to know in advance any problematic issue that may ensue. You see? That's what he's saying. He's like, it's one thing to say I'm ascending. It's another thing to say, okay, I get this in this layer, and that's why we went through all that about the different kingdoms. Because if you clean it up from the first empire to the second empire, you won't have that conversation by the seventh empire. Because those are your empires. Now, granted, it's fun to co-create, because otherwise, number one, you become a god, okay, an island unto yourself, and you have servants and people are running around, this, that, and the other, but you may just want to go out and go have a hoagie sandwich and a beer with another ascended human creator, or go to a titty club or jiggle dance or something. That's fun. Well, it's more fun to play with other human creators. Okay. And what this allows you is the ability to engage at all levels with a confounded knowing regarding the vibrational proximity within any house that you might intersect. But then James knows that we already said you've pulled all those tangents off those rings and you can pinpoint exact process and access, so you can actually vibrationally line and pitch your Asher to whatever desire you have. For example, if you'd like to have an invitation to summer at La Saint-Martin, you most certainly can. Invitation will find you. Good time will be had by all.
By pulling tangents on this diagram?
Oh, absolutely. Because the vibration is the easiest. Everything is vibration. So the vibration is the easiest thing to not only manipulate, but to identify.
Okay. I don't know if I'm the only one here that doesn't get what pulling tangents means on a practical level, but is there a simple exercise
okay.
where I can take this and pull tangents?
Yeah. Label the triangle. When there's a triangle, there's lots of triangles in this chart, are there not?
Yeah.
Take and label it, A, B, C.
Yeah.
3 points of a triangle, A, B, C. Now, if you're trying to always think, if you're trying to pull a tangent, you want to know, always you want to know what A is to B. Literally. What A is to B. So, A, B would be a line segment of a triangle, would it not?
Yes.
So, always, if you're trying to find out what A is to B, AB line segment would always be the tangent.
Okay.
Okay. So then the opposing angle is what a sine cosine you could use to calculate the peaks and troughs from the values on an XY axis to be able to calculate precisely if there are peaks and troughs of sine and cosine that could be pinpointed within the confines of that triangle given the AB tangent. Okay.
How can there be peaks and troughs in a triangle, though? There's just angles and lines.
No. A, you do the sine cosine of the value of A.
Oh, okay.
You do the sine cosine of the value of B. And where those intersect within the triangle become notable points of direction.
Okay, so what you're describing is something simple, of operation I could look up on the internet, and the normal routine.
Well, yeah, it's simple, sure.
No, is it or isn't it simple? Because is this a mundane thing I can find? What?
It's easy for us. And the diagram even gives you on the outer ring what those values are. So, yeah, it's pretty mathematically easy. What we're saying is there are levels and tiers to it. So if you're interested in that process, okay, then play with it. And then as you figure things out, great. And if you have more questions, you can ask them. We're happy to help. But it doesn't serve you for us to just start vomiting something on you at this point when you need to play with the aspect. The visual helps you get the ideology to apply a formulary in a moving Asher pulling tangents that is not consistently the same for pinpointing gates and or applications of a vibrational system, which then activates a fractal in those values from X and Y that set pinpoint accuracy where another simultaneous vibration will occur. It's pretty
okay,
fucking
brilliant.
Okay, but
so what you just told me to do for pulling a tangent to calculate, you know, A to B and then coming up with the other value, none of that what you told me matters in a flat two-dimensional. Because once it's animated, you're saying it's going to change, you know,
yes,
the position.
But the values, that's correct, but the values won't change. So then it does become a mathematical equation.
So if I do these calculations while it's just in this diagram, once it's spinning around,
the values won't change.
The values, the ratios won't change, the sine and cosine won't change.
Correct. But if the points change, that's how you line up a frequency to a frequency. Okay? That's what would put you in the vibrational proximity of another human creator ascending or ascended. That would be the fastest path to your joy if you decided you wanted to share a kingdom or co-create a creation with another human creator. And even if those are, they have differences, it's always fun. It's fun. And vibrationally, it's satisfying. Even if that other person has baggage that they're working through, it's okay. You, and if you can help, help. Don't get involved, but if you can help, help. But don't hurt, always, because that's not your job. I mean, it's no fun taking on somebody else's shit. But from a frequency standpoint, you know it's the correct one. Or you could have the exact same conversation with a car. You know it's the correct car. And vibrationally, that it lines up and finds you.
Okay, so if I pull a tangent on one of the triangles, like let's say the Siam triangle, when I'm pulling a tangent on that, do I have to look at ring 12 and connect it to one of those frequencies for it to actually be useful?
Well, it would, and it's lucky because if you extend the AB and the BC line of that triangle, it'll give you parameters within that circle of which values to apply and choose. And it makes no difference which ones you use. Just pull three values for A, B, and C within that window as a clock face. If you extend the line, it'll match up perfectly for which ones that you would choose for the value of that particular angle.
Okay, so you mean continue those angles from inside the Siam.
Yes.
And go outside so that the one angle would go under the seven box thing of
No. Well, no, we're just saying, yeah, the seven box, right.
Yeah.
Just basically make the arms of the like, what are those things that keep time, clock things? Just extend the minute hand and the hour hand within the angles of that triangle, and wherever they extend outside of that circle, use those values to attach an amount of value for A, B, and C. Choose three within those lines, okay? Choose three of those. Makes no difference which one. And those are the values that you'll pull the sine and the cosine from.
But you said choose three. So let's say I'm using the Siam, so I'm going the one that runs under the seven boxes, and I'm going the one that runs along the top of the Asher layer.
No. Those are on the outer ring, the little stacked numbers, one on top and one on bottom. The top is the sine, the bottom is the cosine. You've made a bigger triangle, or two sides of a triangle. You've extended it. And that just gives you the degree of what to choose from that particular triangle.
So wait a minute, but I'm expanding out from one angle. I'm expanding like two angles.
Yeah, the minute hand and the hour hand, you extend them both.
they're calling the minute hand and hour hand, but they're not starting from the middle of the diagram, are they?
No, they most certainly are not. They're coming from the angle of the triangle outside the just outside the Asher. So take Syene, okay?
Yeah.
We'll do this way. It makes it simpler. You take Syene. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. Now, Syene, down at the base of the Asher, there's a point. And within Syene, that's contained within a triangle, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you go all the way up to Z at the top.
Yeah.
Now, look at there. It's a straight outline. Look at there. That Z at the pinpoint of that angle, there's a straight line. And we're saying take a pencil and extend that line through the top of that circle.
You mean 12 o'clock, straight up.
Straight up, that's correct. Okay, now, to the right of that line, you have, what is that, 4, 1, you have different numbers, correct?
Yeah.
Now go all the way down to the little a, which would be the other angle of your triangle, would it not?
Yes.
Now look at there. There's another straight line. You see that straight line off of that angle?
Up to the little n?
Yeah, take that same pencil and extend it all the way through the circle. Now, within those two lines that you've extended, those are the what you'll choose. Makes no difference which ones. Any three of those, you can attach those number values to the angles.
Any three of those, what are those?
Between 4 and 1 and the n, those values.
So that little, I've created a segment here. So you're saying pick any three of those segments.
Correct. Mix and match. Okay. And you're going to make an A, B, and a C. Okay? You'll label the triangle. And then you pick three of those and attach it. Just any, is it locked, y'all?
I just got in.
Oh, you did. So it wasn't locked. Okay. So, any...
Hey, Brian, how long you been gone?
I don't know. Something happened. There was this loud, screeching tone that come on. I don't... What the hell? I don't know what it was. So
okay, you been gone for 10 minutes?
No, I've only been gone for 30 seconds. Minutes.
Okay. Is Sasha there?
You guys didn't hear any noise come over your...
No,
mind?
We didn't hear any noise.
Yeah,
no noise.
I'm here.
Okay. Is Greg and Ginny there?
I don't know. I just called in and said there's 8 people.
Yeah, I guess Greg and Ginny are here. And is Margarita here?
Yes.
Okay, so we don't know Greg and Ginny. It's getting late. Okay, Chad, you got 5 minutes. You're not going to finish this. I know about this. But you got 5 minutes, and then we're ending.
Okay. All right. So, Ion, you're saying pick three of them, and then you said label one of them as A, one of them as B, one of them as C.
Correct.
Okay.
Which one's which?
And
A the part that...
It makes no difference. It makes no difference. Just whichever way you label it, just know you're trying to find out what A is to B. A, in that line segment between the A angle and the B angle, whichever one you assign it to, that is the tangent. Okay?
This is in the Syene, where you have the Z to A at 7 boxes, then A down to the gate, and then the gate over back to Z. That's the triangle, right, Ion?
That's exactly correct. Okay. Now, you attach A, B, C to those three points of that triangle. Makes no difference which one. A to B is always the tangent. Okay. Now, you've got, let's say if you attached Z, the Z angle, and you made that A, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go up and you go across that segment that you created, Chad, and you pick one of those sets there, and you pull a sine and a cosine off of that A angle. Okay? Now, a sine and cosine in a wavelength, you're going to have peaks and troughs. Where they intersect, if that intersection points, because you have values now that you've pulling sine and cosines off of. If you have values that fall and intersect within this particular triangle, those are notably ones that are significant.
Okay.
Then you go to the B, whichever one you attached as B, with the other end of the tangent, obviously, because remember A to B is always the tangent, and you go to that same section that you created and you choose another value. You top, you pull a sine, the bottom, you pull a cosine, and you do the same thing there. And if any of those peaks and troughs intersect within the confines of that triangle, those indeed then are significant. Okay?
Okay. Now, the two examples you just gave me, they're both within this segment that I created in the Siam. You don't mean, like, you create one on Siam and then go create one on Bekasi.
No. It's all within this one. Now, that's a great question, and that's the part that you're getting enough to play. Okay? That's
okay.
What Bob's telling you. You're getting enough to play. Now, granted, the tangent will always be the same, okay? But now this Asher is going to be moving. But that makes no difference because the cosine and sine wavelengths in a vibrational field from a set point that has an XY axis that would set itself from a graphing calculator of pulling sine and cosine, because if you pull the cosine, if it's a negative, it's going to be below the X and above the Y. You see the four quadrants. That'll do that for you. You don't even have to know, you don't even have to set where those values are. Okay?
Okay, four quadrants. You mean like in the unit circles, split the whole diagram in four
right.
quadrants. Okay.
Well, but you don't even have to do that. Your sine cosine waves will do that for you. The peaks and troughs of a graphing calculator, it'll do that for you.
But would I actually see the wave, the sine wave,
yes.
on this diagram?
Yes. Okay. Well, you'd actually see the intersecting points. Cause see, it'll give you values. Now here's the magic. If you have one that if A sine cosine wavelength, which actually looks like a helix if you look at it close, you know, and you have B and you do the same thing, if it ever there's a time where A sine cosine and B sine cosine, those intersect, then you're on the money. And that becomes a specific vibrational frequency. So now, and there's more to say about that, but that's the mother load when you have them intersect. And you'll find almost any combination that you choose, more times than not, one will intersect from a sine, cosine, peak and trough of A and a sine, cosine, peak and trough of B. Now, that point becomes absolutely significant.
You mean the point where they're the same?
Yes, where they intersect.
Okay.
And if you look, and now this is going to get fun because now we're going to play with it.
Hey, Ion, 10 seconds left. Wrap it up.
Look at there. Inside Siam, there's a little figure with a point, a quadrant. And Blitzcast, there's a little symbol with a mark and a number underneath it. The next one, there's not one. And Demio A, there's a point in a quadrant. Look at there. They have even laid out what the fucking quadrants that you're looking for, where they are. Now, if that don't get you hard, you something's wrong with you, Peter.
Okay. $650, $350 going in the bank.
What
chinga,
would the
chinga, chinga.
What was it?
And you guys got your money worth and a lot more.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. That was good.
James, did you already know that stuff?
We sort of done it before, but Hines expanded on it a bit more now, so. But he's good, very good.
What do you think, Sasha?
I have to unmute.
What do you think, Sasha?
Well, the math part is definitely a bit over my head right now, but...
No, the math part, none of us know it. We just know the words. We're just beginning. We're beginning in a solid space, though. Forget that you don't know. You don't know the old math. This stuff, you're hearing it, you take it in. Just like any of us are. It's all starting over again.
I've always actually made a joke about the fact that I may not know my multiplication tables, but I get deeper math, so maybe that's where I was getting that from.
Yeah.
Well, the picture, the geometry helps more times than not, darling, because you don't have a preconceived notion that you have to overcome, where mm-hmm. some of the math gurus, they've got to cipher this shit. But you don't
right.
have to cipher because it makes no difference to you. But the picture of the pinpoints now are. James, mm-hmm. if you were bright, you would get those points and include them as pinpoints that are moving within the Asher. And those lines that are have coefficient relationship to each other, when you get that thing into motion, stand back.
Mm-hmm. Why doesn't Ideen have a number and a value underneath it or a dot?
Because any of those quadrants do not intersect anywhere within the pulled sine cosine from the AB tangent.
Okay.
In any angle you pick, in any of those efficients, coefficients that are given, then none fit.
Cool.
But that's logical because remember, you got one gate.
Yeah.
It's not a gate.
Of course.
Now, if you extended that tangent, and this is what Chad was asking about earlier, if you extend that tangent and put this thing in motion, you'll see that that 9 o'clock or the ninth gate flips to that 4 o'clock position.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ion. You are satisfied, happily
we
incomplete.
We are totally deliciously, happily, forever, incomplete.
Okay, we got 15 minutes to talk about this. Let me unmute. Unmute.
All participants are now unmuted.
Would you like to hear that again, Chad?
It sounds like my private sessions after that.
Yeah, several people, you and Brian and a few other people, had many private sessions trying to figure out what Ian was saying there.
I have to say, I was literally having a fit about how everybody was not understanding what was going on, and then Chad came in and it started to make even more sense. I was pleasantly surprised, and that was a really good clip.
Yeah, but it's a good clip, but see, there's two topics. People didn't understand the empire thing. That's where
right.
the confusion was. There was no confusion in the graph part because only Chad was talking.
Ah,
see,
okay.
So you're mixing up two things.
I didn't know there was two clips. Or like two different
two topics.
Things.
Two topics.
Well,
part was over the empires.
Okay, I came in late.
And then that was completed. And then Chad, fortunately, started. He knew a bit about trigonometry. And that he started asking, "What the fuck is Ian talking about?" And that's like the last 15 minutes.
Well, then I want to say, Chad, that was awesome. I really like your approach, and I feel like it. It responded. Ion responded in a better way that I could understand it. I'll try to listen more when you are asking questions. Thank you.
It'll be hard to figure out to visualize what Ion's talking about. Chad, talk about the difficulties. Okay, we hear something and Ion's presenting it. Remember, Ion, at one point there, Chad, you said so I could get on the internet and get a calculator or something, and he laughs. He goes, yeah, you can do that. Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
That's because he knows it's going to get way more complicated.
Yeah, and it is very complicated. It went on for six more months, I think, after that.
Yeah.
But that
private session.
What has happened with that material, Chad? Are you, have you shared that with anybody or ever done a review of that, like a kind of what we're doing now at all?
Just with Bob when he was visiting me here.
Oh, that sucks.
Yes.
You should do something, like how they do.
Well,
the
we're not supposed
or...
to. Said never to give out this information. Never. You give it out
okay.
in public.
Bob is basically being a cock teaser here.
What? A cock teaser, yes. I think they.
Well, that's
the,
cool. I didn't. I was just saying I'm finding it palatable and digestible because it is being broken down, and I can see a geometric pattern, mnemonic. Or Bob tells me to say mnemonic. It's helping me in the way that I process new information. So it'd be interesting to hear that form of questioning. That's it.
Well, the point, the reason that I'm a cock teasing is that the empire knowledge, that conversation is very important to understand what it means, taking your power. It's not like some psychological condition that you can handle your job better. If you take your power, you'll become a billionaire, all right? And it's not that that's important, but that'll accrue to you. And then you're up against the historical billionaires, and they'll monitor you. We have, personally, Iandom has had to deal with that. And this is a recording, 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. Now, the graphic stuff at the end is cock-teasing because nobody really is going to be able to talk to Ion about it unless Ion allows it to happen right on payday. Someone could ask Ion, see what he says, but Chad and Brian know that it takes a lot of visualization and work to figure it out. Now, Chad eventually got the whole thing laid out, but I don't think Chad went on the Forex board and tried to make some millions.
Yeah, wasn't this the prelude to triangulation? This was leading
this
up to
triangulation. Yeah, that's another point, Greg. Ion goes on about triangulation. This is what he's referring to. I would say, man, what is this triangulation? I was putting it down, or is it, this is silly. We instinctively triangulate. I didn't know what Ion was getting at. And then when he, from this point on, March 9th, 2011, when he started to go into the geometry and trigonometry of it, and it was unique to overlay geometry and trigonometry, Ion claimed, then I found out what he was meaning by triangulation. And nobody knows that unless they hear this. You don't know that. That triangulation is involves a.
It's like a ratio, like a pie graph, is what I was visualizing. Less than an isosceles or obtuse triangle or right angle triangle.
Would you say it's a pie graph, Jed?
I'm saying more so than.
Okay, I'm muting you, Sarah. You don't know enough to engage at this point. Go ahead, Chad.
Did you get anywhere close to figuring out how to apply that to the stock market?
I'm not going to say everything, but there's a couple of. But by the time we did the last session on triangulation in October, I ran into some issues back then that might not be issues now, but. I was trying to find some information online, and I couldn't find the information that Ion was indicating, and that information was required to complete successful triangulation process. So I could go back and revisit it now, but I mean, like, it's very involving. Like, if we're not talking about something you can just whip off in, like, an hour. It's pretty much like an all-day affair just to find out one future value.
Sure.
Yeah, you're talking about the information around the Maybank, right, Chad?
Yeah, exactly. Ion told me to find a specific type of, because of value from the bank or whatever, and Ion was calling it something, and I called Maybank and asked them for that value, and they said, well, there's no such thing as that.
Yeah,
so I was in a different world.
What's an Asher?
Have you heard the supplement, chapter 23? You've heard that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the angel diagram, it's part of the angel diagram, which you would not have heard any parts of. That was only given and explained in the read-write series. Took like 20 sessions, many 100 hours or something. The Escher is the middle, the seventh ring on the angel diagram. The complex stuff in the middle.
It's Escher, E-S?
Yes, it had two spellings, E-S-C-H-E-R, in reference to the artist, Escher. That was one way. But then it also became A-S-H-E-R, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. You remember that, Chad? Remember he played back the two kinds, the two spellings? Do you remember that, Chad?
Or Asher, A-S, like Asher, the Asher tribe of Asher, and also Escher, like M.C. Escher, the artist.
Yeah, E-S-C-H-E-R, that's the artist. And then the tribe is A-S-H-E-R, I think. So it went back and forth.
Yes, A-S-H-E-R, that's the only thing I could find on the wiki.
Well, you can find E-S-C-H-E-R, that's even easier. That's the famous artist who did the Trump Leo paintings.
Yeah, but again, that's not related to math. And that's what I was
saying. No, it is. That's what the Escher thing is very important. I made a big deal out of it when it was in the Warehouse 13 TV show. When one episode, they showed the Escher phenomenon. And that's how the different quadrants or rings in the diagram flow around among themselves.
And that's spelled the A-E-S-C-H-E-R?
The artist is E-S-C-H-E-R.
What's the mathematical thing spelled?
No,
how is it?
Well, it's related to the artist. The Trump Leo of interpenetrating rings from the 14-ringed angel diagram.
Fascinating.
You know, Bob, in listening to this in retrospect, it's as if Ion has laid out a mathematical and geometric illustration of creation.
Yes.
When you create something through your intention, whatever words we want to throw at it, he laid out how all the vectors and angles come together to make that creation poof come into existence.
I guess within time. Would you say that, Chad? It's all about time? Within the false premise of time.
Not the time that people think it is, not that at all. Different, like the more updated timing, like metronome timing.
Yeah.
The rhythmic beat, like if we're musicians and we're playing together and Bob says, hey, Chad, keep with the timing, or keep with the time. You're not keeping time. It doesn't mean that I'm like not keeping clock time or that I'm late. It means that I'm not on the beat, I'm not on the same rhythm. But then, in this, when Ion was talking about the empires, they said the diagram with all those different rings spinning, if there's another ascended human creator and you want to create with them, but their rings are not spinning at the same frequency, then they won't want to create with you. So this, not only, like Greg says, it's like the illustration of the geometry of creation, but it's down to the level of co-creation and like aligning with other people. Like, why do you resonate with this person rather than not that person? Because that other person themselves are spinning at different
rates. It's like
okay, Gene, hold it, Gene. Okay, don't worry. That's one level. Here's the important level. It's almost like dealing with the neutrino. Everything's already happened. So with this formula, you can figure out where the stock market will be in 3 weeks. That's how you use it. It's already happened, and this is a formula to get, like, to surf the neutrino level of reality, the past blue perfect. That's what's going on here.
It's already happened. There's
so don't get too much into your intention and this and that. It's a way of ignoring your intention and just following the robotic formula.
It's a description
of
how
that, Chad?
How
would you agree with that statement, Chad?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the thing is, it's so complex. It's like, are you really going to try to figure this out with your mind? You probably should just look at it and go, you know what? It's so complicated. I'm not even going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to take Ion's word for it and let it all handle itself.
You have to figure out just how to do it. You have to figure out how to make your compass work. what do they call calipers? You take your calipers and you do it.
The thing is, like, overload me with the 4X formula for so long that it just creates pattern recognition in my brain, because the brain just gets fatigued from all these different twists and turns and details and angles.
But, Bob, would you say that whether we figure it out or not, using our head, that even on the cellular level, as we realize our ascension, we are, our cells are vibrating to a position where we intersect.
You could ask Ryan that. I don't know. You'd have to ask Ryan that on Saturday.
Yep.
All questions about this should be directed to Ion.
And it makes me think of the fulcrum, where you kind of slide from one place to the next, to sliding and maneuvering, pitching and yawing.
Maybe. Ask Ion that.
Yeah, basically, by playing this, Bob is given all kinds of new fodder for asking questions to Ion.
Yeah. And just like Ion said, yes, I will find it fun to go back to the old trig and remember how to use the line opposite the angle to figure out all those. But thanks for the warning, Chad. I could just get really wrapped up in it too.
Like, I watched someone do it. A client, do the formula, figure out in a couple of weeks where the market would be, and he made a lot of money doing it, or she, he or she.
Yeah, now that's where
but
I'm
the thing is,
I don't
that,
know.
But now. Bob, after that person did that, Ion went on and showed me, and maybe even Brian too, for a lot longer after that, how to keep, like, further the formula. So did that? I don't even know if that person had the complete formula.
No, they did. They did this about maybe 6 months after, maybe into 2012, well after you had stopped having your sessions with Ion. They knew the whole thing. They had access to it. There wasn't anybody that I knew of while you and Brian were doing it. Could have been someone listening and figured it out.
Somebody
somehow.
That was involved in during the revelations? When you
No, nobody knows this person. Nobody knows this person.
Was his name
mentioned? You're saying that they did private sessions after Ion stopped doing private sessions, obviously.
You could say that, yes. They were a special person. They were a friend of JW. Special in that they were special for being connected to JW, and he obliged them. And they already were a wealthy person already anyways. They just were very intrigued by this. And they had the ability to do it, understand it and do it.